You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farron.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, it's our weekly look at state news with Rob Menser from USA Today Network, Wisconsin. This week, we'll talk about a potential $1 billion shortfall in transportation funding in the next budget cycle.
First, when you pull your chair up to a warm bowl of chicken noodle soup or you get your favorite birthday cake made by a relative, it means more than just any old meal. Our associations with food are closely linked to our memories.
And whether it's time spent with families and friends, recipes passed on from relatives can hold a special place in our hearts.
We want to hear from you. What recipes, what meals, what foods make you nostalgic or maybe even homesick? What's a cherished food memory from your childhood? Maybe one you've recreated. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave your comment, share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
Joining us now on this Food Friday to talk about the foods, the recipes, the dishes that make us nostalgic is Kathleen Flynn. She's a New York Times bestselling author and food writer, and she recently wrote the book Burnt Toast Makes You Sing Good, a memoir with recipes from an American family. And Kathleen, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thank you for having me.
What got you thinking about this link between memories and feelings and food?
Well, I actually have written two other books, and one was about, you know, kind of going and following my lifelong dream to go study French cuisine in Paris at Le Cordon Bleu. And in that book, it was surprising to me in writing about an experience of studying cuisine in Paris that I kept coming back to the foods of my childhood and all these experiences of foods. And so, you know, I ended up including a lot of stories about like the chickens my parents raised and the pies my mom made and her chicken and, you know, fried chicken, stuff like that. And in my second book, the same stories crept in. And so I decided to just dedicate the third book to really kind of taking a look at that. I think that Midwest cuisine, it kind of gets a bad rap. I mean, I think that there's sort of this idea that it's all green bean casserole. And in fact, there's an extraordinary culinary tapestry that we have in the Midwest. You know, think of all the different immigrants who settled here. I mean, just in my own history, I have Swedish, German, Welsh, Irish, English, and some Italian woman snuck in there in the somewhere. And so, you know, and so to me, I really wanted to talk about my history, but I think by doing that, to shine a spotlight on how much great food there is. And also to, you know, as you said in the open, I think to really establish sort of this kind of trip sort of down memory lane, but tied really to a bunch of very specific recipes.
What do you think it is about food that makes it stand out so prominently in our memories, maybe of our childhood or a particular place or time in our lives?
I think that, you know, they say that smell actually is the number one trigger for memory. And, you know, when you first sit down to any food, you smell it first. And I think that and smell and taste then, of course, are very tied together. And so I think that that's why we have these cravings that we do. Like when you're sick, you know, what do you want? Do you want your mom's soup? Do you want mashed potatoes like your grandmother made? I mean, I think that there's definitely something to that term of comfort food. I think that we're comforted by powerful, positive memories. And one of those things that are very tied to that are the foods that we eat and what we ate growing up. And foods are tied to very positive experiences. I mean, you may have had this extraordinary pasta dish. I can remember having this one, you know, linguine with clams, very simple dish on the island of Capri. And it haunts my dreams. Like, I still think about it. And I try to recreate it, and I can never do it because I will never be in that moment again. But it still is the thing that I go back to.
Yeah, that's part of it, don't you think? Food that you remember and is maybe has this aura of specialness around it or love, but you can never have it again. When you said mashed potatoes, I think about my grandmother's mashed potatoes, and they weren't fancy and they weren't done the way you're supposed to do mashed potatoes, and probably they were a little gluey, but I would love to eat them again with my grandmother, but I can't.
And I think that you brought up a great point. I think very often the way that we demonstrate love is through food and for cooking and nourishment. I mean, you know, you think about your grandmother, and the thing that she was doing in that situation was she was giving you something that she knew that you wanted, and it was something that she knew that would give you pleasure and joy. And that element, I mean, that you can taste that in a dish when someone makes something with love. And I think that's why, for instance, I don't know what Thanksgiving's like at your house, but in my house, you know, I can't try anything fancy. I mean, we have all the same recipes. We still have my grandmother's like stuffing, and we still butter this bag and put the turkey in. It's a nightmare, and we do it and whatever. But we have to, because that's what my family wants. They want this taste of another time. And it may not be a perfect taste, but it's definitely kind of brings us all back together. If I try to, you know, do something fancy, like I did a porcini mushroom stuffing, I was almost shunned from the herd. Like, it's not okay. So instead, you know, I tend to make a very, very traditional Thanksgiving. And I think that that's true throughout all kinds of cultures, and particularly around holidays. I mean, I have a friend who I'm taking cooking lessons with, and she's Muslim, and she makes these little date stuffed cookies called kleche, and she makes them exactly like her mother-in-law made them, because that's what her husband wants. So it's really, I think it's so powerful that it expands geography, it spans class. I mean, I think that food is really the universal language, and a universal language that we can come back to.
We're talking to Kathleen Flynn. She's an author and food writer, talking about food, nostalgia, and memory, looking back at the foods that we remember, maybe from childhood, maybe from a time or place in our lives. You can call in at 800-642-1234. Is there a food that you remember, something you associate with a time in your life, maybe with a person? Is there a recipe that you make that was handed down through the generations in your family? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll go to our callers now. Todd is on the line in Madison. Todd, hi.
Hi. Well, living in Racine 30, 40 years ago, they had the Pinocchio's, which there was a very, you know, drive up. They'd bring the food out to you. It was a little burger joint. It was great. Kind of similar to Kewpie's, which is still there. And on another similar note, you know, one thing I used to get all the time down there in Racine is I'd go to these bodegas and I'd pick up the swag. And granted, you got to pick out all the seeds and stuff.
All right, Todd, thanks for the call. So let's stay with Pinocchio's there, the memory of the scene, the atmosphere, the drive-up restaurant. So it doesn't necessarily have to be fancy food, Kathleen, but a particular memory.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Michigan, and you know, the whole Coney Island thing, you know, like for people who are not familiar, everybody listening to your show probably is, but you know, they're just hot dogs with chili, and but they're very specific. And in Flint, you know, it's Coco Vienna hot dogs, and it's a really specific sauce. And there's a debate on, no, it should be dry or wet or whatever. In Detroit, it's wetter. And whenever I come back to Michigan, literally the first thing I go and I try to find is a really good Coney. And because to me as a kid, that was the big treat. I mean, it wasn't going to McDonald's. It was going to, you know, the original Coney place in Flint.
Well, thank you for the call. We're going to go next to Robert calling from De Pere. Robert, hi.
Hey, how you doing? Something that I really remember, and it's very nostalgic, is my Aunt Ethel's fried chicken. And we used to go down to Southern Indiana, where my dad's family is from, every year for a family reunion. And helping her make it for the family reunion, I remember the first time she asked if I grab her a tablespoon. So having to take home ec, and I was going through the drawer looking for a physical tablespoon, and she said, no, a tablespoon. And she reached in the drawer and grabbed a big old honking spoon. And I'm like, okay, this recipe is not going to turn out at all. But you know what? Every time, delicious, and everybody wants more. And we'd eat, and then Annette would say, okay, what do y'all want for supper? And we'd be like, what? Nobody had room. But
no one was hungry by that point.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great memory. And fried chicken, that is kind of one of those family ones, and it is a labor of love. It's a little more involved anytime you've got a deep fryer as part of the picture. But Robert's story, what does that bring up for you, Kathleen?
Well, we have a fried chicken in my family, too. I think everybody seems like they have one. It's another one of those universal recipes. My Uncle Clarence actually had went out to California with my parents when they were very young, in their 20s. They're Irish primarily, but they started an Italian restaurant, which was a really poor idea. And they had four kids under five, and they took all their savings. It closed in 6 months. But one of the best things that came out of that whole experience was that my Uncle Clarence came out from Michigan to work in their restaurant, and he came up with this amazing fried chicken, and they fried it in the fryer there, but it had cornflakes. It was cornflakes and paprika and poultry seasoning, and even though they were a pizza and like pasta restaurant, they did it as a special, and it was so popular, they had it on the menu all the time. And then the only sole review that they ever got on their restaurant talked about the chicken, talked about this fried chicken, even though they're a pizza place. So my mom always made that growing up. She never fried it, you know, because the whole messy thing and whatever, but she started to oven fry it, which sounds healthier until you read the recipe, which is essentially she would go and take a whole, like, you know, huge cup of margarine and pour it all over the whole top, you know, just to make sure that it was... kind of similar to fried chicken, wildly unhealthy, but delicious. I included that actually in my most recent book, and it's great.
And you shared that with us. We've got that up at the Central Time Facebook page. If people are going to splurge on some margarine or butter or whatever they use, and I have some fried chicken.
We're talking to New York Times bestselling author and food writer Kathleen Flynn right now about the foods that make us nostalgic, the recipes maybe that get passed down from generation to generation, and what they mean to you, what they mean to your family. Kathleen is the author of Burnt Toast Makes Us Sing Good.
We want to hear from you. What foods remind you of home, hold a special place in your memories? Is there a food that makes you think back to childhood, a comfort food that you remember from back in the day, whatever that day was that you turn to when you need that kind of comfort? Is there a recipe that has gone like Uncle Clarence's chicken from one generation to the next? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page or email talk@WPR.org.
And we'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about food and nostalgia and memory, and we want to hear from you. Is there a family recipe that makes you think of home or a different time in your life or a loved one that evokes those memories of time spent with family and friends? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Kathleen Flynn is with us. She's a food writer. She most recently wrote the book A Burnt Toast Makes You Sing Good, a memoir with recipes from an American family.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Bobby joining us in Lone Rock. Hi, Bobby.
Hey.
What is your memory?
My memory is my grandma. She used to make me ice creams of strawberries every year on my birthday.
So homemade ice cream with strawberries. Have you ever, do you have the recipe and do you still make it?
I actually don't have it anymore. I couldn't find it after she passed away.
Yeah, brings up an interesting point. Thank you so much for sharing that, Bobby. And he doesn't have the recipe, which makes me think about the value of writing stuff down. Do you think it's something that we should think about as we go through the generations, if there are those special foods, to try to be aware of them in the moment and write them down so we can pass them on?
Yes, absolutely. I actually teach food writing, and some of my best students are people who are older and who want to actually take those moments and you know, write stuff down. One of the things I found in researching this book was that all my grandmother's, the stuff I loved that my grandmother made, she never wrote down. She did it all from memory. And that's very common. I've heard from many people who try to catalog their family recipes. And, you know, when I got my grandmother's recipe box, I was so excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get all this stuff. And instead, she just had the stuff like that she'd clipped out of magazines. I mean, she had sort of chicken chardonnay and whatever, stuff like that, that she never made because those were the sort of her aspirational recipes at the time. But the stuff she made, like bread or chicken or mashed potatoes or, you know, even her stuffing, which I spent 6 months trying to recreate.
Wow.
She just made that from memory, and I think that's very common. One thing I recommend to people is that I think especially, you know, say for grandparents and grandchildren to cook together and to have the grandchildren, you know, really ask questions. And, you know, every kid's got a phone and, you know, record them and maybe even videotape them cooking together and watching the steps, because that way you can actually preserve that. It is surprising to me how often I hear from people who say, wow, I'm really trying to find, you know, this chicken and biscuits, and I thought we'd have this recipe, and I can't find it, and how do I replicate it? And it's sad when those recipes are gone.
Bobby, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Rita in Rice Lake. Rita, hi.
Hi. My recipe is from my grandmother. It is a graham cracker pie, which has graham cracker crust, homemade pudding, meringue top, and then you sprinkle some of the crumbs on top of the meringue.
Well, I'm sold, Rita. Do you still make this?
My grandmother made it, my mother made it, my sister made it, and now we're passing it on to our son who lives in San Francisco. And for Christmas, he and I have made that the last few years, and it's just a joyous thing to do together and lots of memories. One thing that you were mentioning about maintaining these recipes, one thing that a friend of mine has done is framed her mother's or grandmother's favorite recipe.
Nice.
And that's something that I am going to do for this next Christmas.
Rita, thank you so much. So Kathleen, both of the things you just said, they did write it down and went beyond that and framed it, and multi-generational cooking going on. She and her son cooked this together.
Fantastic. I mean, and also, I'm going to tell you, I want that dish. That sounds awesome.
It does sound really good.
And I love that. I love the idea of framing it. I mean, I think, you know, that's a terrific gift. And I think even for someone who, say, wants to pass down a recipe, what a great way to share that and to really show, like, that value. I mean, you know, we frame the things that are important to us. We frame photos of great moments and memories and diplomas and all kinds of other stuff. I mean, why not frame a beloved recipe? I just think that's wonderful.
And I suppose the original recipes, at least if you cook like I cook, there's going to be like globs of butter on it and pieces of corn, and you can sort of see that on the recipe card. But I wonder about recipes now. I suppose that it's maybe online. There might never be that sort of living record on the recipe that you might have gotten in the past.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. So in the cookbook world, they thought that, oh, no, ebooks are coming and you know, everything's going to be digital. And it's true. A lot of people do get their recipes off the internet. But, you know, people still love cookbooks. I mean, of all the book categories, that's really one of the things that people are not willing to give up. They want that physical book. They want to hold it. They want it on the kitchen counter. And I love it when people bring copies of my books, all my books have recipes in them. And there's, you know, splashes of wine and gravy and just stuff all over the recipe. And every food writer I know feels that way. In fact, I saw Julia Child sign someone's book and she was like, oh, how delightful, you know, because that there was all this stuff all over the recipe.
Nice.
Clearly someone loved it and really used it. And, you know, that's just a wonderful thing.
We're talking to Kathleen Flynn. She's a food writer and author, talking about foods and recipes that make us nostalgic, that have cherished memories from our childhood or important places, times, people in our lives. Back to our callers now. Shanda is on the line in Green Bay. Shanda, hi.
Hi.
What's your recipe for us?
Well, I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and my Finnish family up there brought a recipe from Finland for pasties when they came over on the boat. Yeah, so that is the recipe, really, the tried and true recipe that we make at home as a family, and it's like a day-long undertaking at least to make the sheer amount that we need to feed everybody. That's the aroma triggers the memories, and, you know, it's one of those recipes that is really near and dear to us.
Shanda, thanks so much. I'm a troll from the Lower Peninsula under the bridge, and I grew up loving pasties from trips to the UP. We didn't make them in my family, but they make me nostalgic, too. I bet there's a lot of those regional and ethnic recipes, Kathleen, that people have that attachment to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I mentioned earlier the Coney Island. Like, you know, my husband didn't know what I was talking about. He thought it was
an amusement
park.
Me too. I love those.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, you know, one of the things that I think really helps determine sort of regional dishes is, you know, what is there a bounty of? I mean, in Michigan, there are a lot of apples. I'm sure that a lot of, and you know, Wisconsin also. I mean, there are a lot of apples. And so you end up having a lot of recipes featuring those kinds of things. Like in my family, my mom made this apple crisp, delicious, had oatmeal and apples and nutmeg and cinnamon. And I can still remember the smell of that apple crisp baking in our farmhouse when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I mean, it was just a tiny kid. And once in a while, I still make that. You know, just it's one of my go-to dishes.
And we have that recipe shared from you, Kathleen, up on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go next to Cindy joining us in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
What is your food memory?
My greatest memory is when my grandmother, my mom's mom, lived with us when I was like in middle school, early high school. And of course, in Wisconsin, the winters are always very, very cold. And my grandmother loved to make cinnamon rolls. And when we would get off the school bus on those cold days, by the time we got to the porch, we could smell the cinnamon rolls.
Wow.
And it was always just a wonderful treat when we would come home from school have hot cinnamon rolls with butter melted on top.
Oh, what a fantastic memory.
I can smell the cinnamon rolls when I think of it.
Mm, do you still make them, Cindy?
I personally have not tried to make them myself, but I do have her original recipe. And after listening to the program, it's just kind of renewed my motivation to try and make them myself.
Well, good luck with that. Well, that's a beautiful memory. The smell, again, Kathleen, you were talking about the smell of the food triggering the memory. And that's the way for Cindy, you know, cinnamon, warm cinnamon bread, cinnamon rolls on a snowy day is the perfect vision of that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, my grandmother made a great cinnamon roll also. And my mother, with such an elaborate recipe, I understand why she probably hasn't made them often, because it took to risings, all this stuff. But my mother would only make them on our birthdays. That was our part of our, they didn't have much money when we were growing up, but each of us got to pick our birthday dinner. And I have a whole chapter about that in the book. And each, you know, every year we'd always end up ordering the same thing. And really today, my birthday dinner would probably be the same thing I had when I was 8.
Kathleen, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I've had a great time.
That's Kathleen Flynn. She's a best-selling food writer and author. Her most recent book is Burnt Toast Makes Us Sing Good, a memoir with recipes from an American family. She joined us to talk about foods that make us nostalgic. You can keep sharing your favorite cherished food memories. Maybe you've got a story about a recipe from your family from the past that's been handed down, or that you wish was handed down. You can share that story with us and find recipes for Uncle Clarence's fried chicken on the Central Time Facebook page.